Welcome to Patriots Nation. It's Pat Wright. Hope you guys had a great day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Starting off the news of the week, Arizona Supreme Court has reinstated a major abortion ban, and football player and murderer O.J. Simpson is now dead. And then we're going to talk about this growing anti-Semitism on the right. So stay tuned and enjoy, guys. Big episode. My heart overflows with a good theme. I address my verses to the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips, therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword on your thigh, O mighty one, in your splendor and your majesty, and in your majesty ride on victoriously. For the cause of truth and meekness and righteousness, let your right hand teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp, the peoples fall under you. Your arrows are in the hearts of the king's enemies. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the joy of oil above all your fellows. All your garments are fragrant with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of ivory palaces, stringed instruments have made you glad. King's daughters are among your noble ladies. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, give attention and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. Then the king will desire your beauty, because he is your lord. Bow down to him. The daughters of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among people will seek your favor. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is interwoven with gold. She will be led to the king in embroidered work. The virgins, her companions who follow her, will be brought to you. They will be led forth with gladness and rejoicing. They will enter into the king's palace. In place of your fathers will be your sons. You shall make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the peoples will give you thanks forever and ever. This is Psalm 45, a song celebrating the king's marriage. For the choir director, according to the Shoshasham, a maskil of the sons of Korah, a song of love. And it's difficult to tell with this, but you can tell by the capitalization of certain words in this psalm that this is a messianic psalm, but not just a messianic psalm foretelling of Christ coming to the world. This is a messianic psalm about Christ reigning in the world after his ascension, after he is seated on the right hand of God, him ruling in all the world, and the talk of his daughter, and his daughter leaving her old people, forgetting her old people, and being married to the king, married to the groom. That is an image of Christ's church being married to Christ. I guess you could say an end time revelatory. Revelatory song, I guess, or psalm would be the right terminology for this. And I think what it highlights is, one, God loves righteousness, justice, and truth, hates wickedness, and that Christ is reigning on his throne, and we must never, ever forget that. Anyway, guys, this is episode 210 of Patriots Nation, and the podcast is still available on all the normal platforms, Spotify, Beyond Podcast Box, Deezer, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, TuneIn, iTunes, Amazon Music, Player FM, and of course, the video show is available on Rumble, rumble.com/PatWrightOfficial, or you can watch the video show on Odyssey, odyssey.com/@PatWrightOfficial. Again, all links are in the description below, audio and video links. Again, check them out. If you're listening on the audio platforms and you want to catch the video show, catch on Rumble or Odyssey. If you normally watch on Odyssey and Rumble and you want to listen to the podcast, check out the audio platforms. And then, of course, there's the blog, My Fellow Patriots. It's patwrightofficial.substack.com. Link in the description below. Obviously, the latest article up is my gas price analysis for the month of March. And for those who are unaware, I announced it on last week's episode of the podcast, as well as in get my gas price analysis for March, that the gas price analysis for April will be my last gas price analysis. And if you want to know my reason why, you can go and listen to last week's episode or you can go and read my latest article, my latest gas price analysis, because at the end of it, I explain what's going on. So anyway, go and check that out. Again, it's patwrightofficial.substack.com. You will also get every article that I write and links to listen to every podcast episode whenever a new episode goes live in your inbox for free, patwrightofficial.substack.com, link in the description below. But let's jump into the news of the week because there is a lot to cover. First up, from the Epic Times, Arizona Supreme Court reinstates Civil War era abortion ban. So yes, there was an 1864 law which prohibited all abortions in the state except to save a mother's life. So it's not a, yes. And so this was actually a almost two-year legal battle over this law. And on April 9th, the state Supreme Court ruled that the pre-statehood ban, because yes, this ban went into effect before Arizona was a state, but the Supreme Court ruled that it was legally enforceable. And so therefore, except for the exception of saving a mother's life, abortion has essentially been banned in Arizona. Now, obviously, this isn't a perfect bill because this bill does not cover chemical abortions and at-home abortions, such as abortion pills and whatnot. So, again, this isn't perfect. But in a 4-2 ruling, it reversed the Supreme Court of Arizona reversed a lower court's opinion, which held up and said that the 15-week abortion limit passed in 2022 supersedes the older law's abortion restrictions. And the Arizona Court of Appeals held that the two laws could be harmonized. But it didn't really do anything. It obviously wasn't accurate. It was wrong. And the Supreme Court came in and they took up the case, obviously, and they ruled rightly that this 1864 law is in fact still on the books and still therefore legal. So this is a very, very, it's a good thing. Good step in the right direction. It's not perfect. It doesn't fully establish justice for those murdered in the womb because, again, it does not prevent at-home abortions. It also does not allow for full equal protections for the unborn. Therefore, women are still able to, again, have these at-home abortions without any ramifications, without any legal punishments for their act of murder. And for some of those saying, you want to punish women? You want to prosecute women who have abortions? Yes. Yes, I do. That is justice. In fact, if a state rules that murder is first-degree murder is a capital crime, I believe women who have abortions should be executed. If that's the punishment for murder in a state, then it is an injustice to treat the murder of unborn children as anything different than what it is. To say that it is not the same as a person who's already been born is to say they are not fully human, and that is wrong. That is a violation of justice. But Arizona's not there yet. Hopefully they will get there sooner than later. Hopefully bills of equal protection will be put through the legislative process and turned into law. That would be true justice. And of course, this bill, well, has showed that a lot of people have no principles, namely Carrie Lake and Donald Trump, too, who said that he said that he wanted to, in one statement last week, earlier last week, said that he wanted to allow abortion to be decided at the state level, which I think is wrong. I think it should be decided at the federal level, just as slavery was decided at the federal level. Abortion, which is much worse than slavery, should be at the federal level, and a federal ban is legal, by the way. But it was ruled, or Trump said that he wanted abortion to be at the state level. And then when this bill went into effect, he was asked about it and said that this bill went too far and that stuff needed to be done to write the law, to make things better, essentially saying that he's not pro-life, which he's not, and has very clearly shown that. And then Carrie Lake came out either the same day or the next day and said that she thought this bill was a travesty, even though she had praised the bill back in 2022. So like less than 2 years ago, Carrie Lake was praising this 1864 law. And now she's saying that it's a travesty. And I can tell you why. It's twofold. One, she's not actually principled. She's not actually principled on in terms of being pro-life. She is pro-choice. She may not be as pro-choice radical as the Democratic Party platform is, which is abortions up and through till birth and post-birth. But she's not pro-life. She's absolutely not pro-life. This is, again, not a perfect bill. This is but it is a good bill. And there's obviously more to be done, but this bill is a very, very, very good first start, and she came out against it. And so the first reason is she's not principled, and she's, in fact, actually pro-choice. The second reason, and I think both of these are true at the same time, is that to be on Donald Trump's good side, you have to toe, not the party line, you have to toe his line. So if Trump says that this abortion, this pro-life bill, this anti-abortion bill law is bad, then you have to say it's bad. You cannot call Donald Trump out on that. You cannot say that he is being inconsistent. You cannot say that his position is wrong. To be in the good grace of Donald Trump, you have to toe his line. And maybe a lot of MAGA doesn't need to toe his line as much as they are, but they absolutely think they do. And so that's why Carrie Lake, she didn't have to criticize Donald Trump in her response against this. All she had to say with this bill was a good bill. And instead, no, she came out and demonized the bill, said that it wasn't just, that it wasn't wasn't the will of the people in Arizona. But that again, it doesn't matter what the will of the people is necessarily when it comes to passing laws like this. Now, obviously, people can be voted out of office. Everyone who voted this law into office is dead now. Again, this is an 1864 law. So this is a good thing for Arizona. Again, not perfect. There is still more that can be done. But this absolutely showed the hypocrisy of so many people in the quote-unquote pro-life movement who either demonize this bill, or really, I mean, those who demonize this bill. The amount of people who've done that, who are supposed to be pro-life, is astounding, and it's really showing that there aren't that many truly pro-life people. There is just as you can. There's big pharma. There is big pro-life, and actually, big pro-life. And I wrote an article on this, how big pro-life is not truly pro-life. I wrote this article like a year and a half, two years ago. But it can be seen there was a bill of abolition, a bill of equal protection in Louisiana a year and a half ago, I believe it was. And it would have established equal justice under the law and would have completely banned all abortions, abortion pills, physical abortions in terms of Planned Parenthood, surgical abortions, I guess you could call them, the pills, anything, and would have prosecuted women for murder. And this bill was going to pass. It was going to pass. And then big pro-life organizations heard of this bill, and they called in and put out a huge national campaign, actually, and pressured the state legislature in Louisiana to not back this bill anymore, even though it was originally going to pass. Big pro-life and the pro-life industry is not pro-life. They are, honestly, making money. That's probably the first and foremost, about making money. Because if you ban abortions in all 50 states or at a federal level, they go out of business. Tens of millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars a year will no longer flow to these different organizations. And that means a lot of people will not be making money. But also, big pro-life is about electing Republicans, because they've even said it. If we pass these radical pro-life bills, or if we're radically pro-life, Republicans won't get elected. Well, Is it better to be principled or to win elections? The pragmatist would say it's better to win elections. The principled person would say that it's better to stand on policy and stand on principles. So this is great for Arizona, but it's really showing, it's exposing how unpro-life the pro-life industry actually is. But let's move on. Next article from the New York Post. O.J. Simpson dead after 76, at 76 after cancer battle. Yes, O.J. Simpson, the once beloved NFL superstar and actor, who, again, the article says was acquitted for his 1995 murder, died in his Vegas home on Wednesday, April 10th. Let's be honest, it is, everyone knows that O.J. was guilty. And everyone's been rebringing this up since he died, which is good. This is, I mean, what it absolutely showed is the racial politics and the destruction of justice based on such principles was happening back in 1995, because we have video footage, both recent interviews and interviews back then, of jury members who absolutely knew without a doubt that O.J. Simpson was guilty of murder. But because he was black, they didn't convict him. They literally said that. Everyone knew he was guilty. And I think this article from a New York Post, I think, is doing too much to praise him. Yes, he was a great football player, but he murdered his wife and another man. So we can't ignore that. And everyone knows what happened. But it is what it is. I mean, nothing's going to change it. And he is, he's in hell now. But it absolutely showed. And I guess it's being re-brought up now that he's passed away, that these racial politics and this unequal weights and measures, unequal scales, injustice, truly, because of race, was happening back in 1995. It's obviously ramped up even more now, but it is absolutely not a modern phenomenon at all. Moving on, next article. This is this one's a doozy. From the Epoch Times, Biden admin finalizes controversial rule to expand background checks on gun sales. Yes, so this is obviously not passed into law, because for those who are not aware, the ATF and the executive branch does not have the authority to make law. They have the authority to enforce law, and the president has the authority to sign or veto a bill. They do not have the authority to make law. But the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF, has submitted the final version of a controversial rule to change the definition of what it means to be, quote, engaged in the business, end quote, of dealing in firearms. AKA, it would make it illegal for a person to partake in a private sale of a firearm. For example, if I had a gun, and I had a gun for a couple years, and I needed some extra money, or wanted to sell it or something to a friend or whatnot, the buyer would have to fill out a background check to be sold. But the person selling the gun, in this circumstance me, would actually have to be licensed to partake in a private gun sale. So again, if I had a gun and I wanted to sell it to a friend or someone because I needed the extra money, or whatever reason I got a better gun and didn't need whatever gun, it would be illegal for me to sell it because I am not a licensed. I don't have an FFL. I don't have a federal firearms license. And the person would have to fill out a background check even if I did. This is first of all, I think background checks for firearms are unconstitutional. Under the spirit of the Second Amendment, you should be able to walk into a hardware store or a gun store and buy a gun and as much ammunition as you want, no questions asked. Of course, there are people who say, oh, well, criminals are going to get guns. Yeah. But at the same time, you'd hopefully have more people who would have guns. And we know for a fact that criminals fear places where people can carry. That's why since 1950, when the stats started being tracked, 95% of all mass shootings have happened in gun-free zones. It's not the guns that are causing this. It's the lack of guns that are causing this. Not to mention, the Second Amendment is pretty clear that it shall not be infringed. But so this is serious. This is going to affect a lot of people. And of course, this is being done under the guise of closing the gun show loophole. Of course, what they don't tell you is that people at gun shows are FFLs. They are FFL dealers. They are licensed to sell guns, and you do have to fill out a background check to buy a gun at a gun show. I know, because I've gone with friends, and friends have purchased guns, and we've hung out at gun shows. And my friend bought a gun, or he was going to buy I can't remember if he bought the gun or not, but he had to fill out a background check. I think he ended up buying the gun, but he had to fill out a background check there. Obviously, it took a little bit longer because instead of at a gun store or where you, a lot of times you can fill this out online, he had to fill out on paper. But it's the same principle. So there is no gun show loophole. This is garbage, obviously. And this bill, ruling change, is not constitutional. Again, the ATF doesn't actually have the authority to institute laws or even change the laws. I would argue that the ATF shouldn't actually exist, period. Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives should be, and people have said this before, it should be a convenience store. It should be an outdoor store. It shouldn't be a government agency. But this is what happens when you don't follow the Constitution and you have the people who have no clue what the Constitution says and are not willing and have not been willing for at least 50 years, probably closer to 75 to 100 years, have not been willing to stand up and assert their rights and pay attention to what's going on in government. Because if they paid attention to what was going on, they would not have stood for this. And there would have been pressure put on Washington to not initially not launch the ATF, but also to quickly shut down the ATF, as well as not pass these wholly unconstitutional anti-Second Amendment laws that have been passed, such as the banning of, except for exorbitant licensing of fully automatic weapons. Shall not be infringed is shall not be infringed. So if you have the money to have an aircraft carrier, you should legally be able to have an aircraft carrier and have it fully stocked. That was the intention of America's founding fathers. There is no debate about this. And anyone who says there is any debate about this has never actually studied the founding fathers. But anyway, let's move on to the next article from Just the News. U.S. helps Israel shoot down missiles, drones from brazen Iranian attack. Yes. So from Saturday night, actually, or it would have been Saturday morning or early Saturday morning Israeli time, Iran launched a missile attack and drone attack against Israel. Yeah, it didn't work out so well. They fired like 150 something odd rockets. Half of them didn't actually even make it to Israel. The rest, except minus like one or two, were, I think all but one actually, were stopped by the Iron Dome. And from what I understand, the only person injured was a 12-year-old Muslim child who was severely injured when a missile hit a building, I believe it was, and some part of the building fell down and hit the kid. So all they did was, Iran did was waste money. And now, of course, Iran has turned tails and said, we have no beef with you anymore. Any attack against us is proof that you are the aggressors in this, which is garbage. Israel is absolutely justified, and they should attack Iran. I know some people have warned against it. I absolutely think Israel should attack Iran. Iran initiated this. Iran absolutely initiated this, starting with the October 7th attack, and it is only continued. This has been the Middle East since Israel became a state. Middle Eastern countries attack Israel. Israel defends themselves, counterattacks these countries. These countries say, oh, look, Israel's attacking us. Israel's the aggressors, blah, 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 blah. And in fact, they're the ones who fired the shot first. And everyone who's honest knows they fired the shot first. And of course, right now, the U.S. government, the Biden administration, is telling Israel and Prime Minister Netanyahu not to retaliate against Iran, and that America will not support Israel if they retaliate against Iran, which, by the way, they are completely justified in doing, and I believe they absolutely should retaliate against Iran. What I think is happening is the Biden administration and the G7 countries broadly are they want this war to continue. They want to prolong this war, and that's why they are trying to get Israel to not counterattack. Because if Israel counterattacked and was more aggressive, starting with Gaza, actually, Iran would never have attacked. This war would have ended months ago. And Middle Eastern nations would have feared Israel a lot more than they actually do. It's because the U.S. and other nations keep trying to muzzle Israel and restrict Israel and actually retaliating and actually crushing their enemies as they should be crushed. And so, obviously, this is very, very new, so we'll have to see what happens if Israel decides to listen to the Biden administration, or whether they decide to do what is right and ignore the Biden administration and other G7 nations and actually go forth and attack or really counterattack Iran in response, because Iran needs to face punishment for this. But moving on, next article from CNBC. This is actually not good. Economy-based. U.S. steel shareholders approve $14.9 billion buyout by Nippon Steel. Yes. So U.S. steel shareholders on Friday, this is Friday, April 12th, approved its proposed $14.9 billion acquisition by Japan's Nippon Steel. So essentially what happens is U.S. Steel, which is obviously a steel company, is selling themselves, or really merging with Nippon, who will pay $55 per share. This is not good. This is the U.S. selling a major component of our entire economy, our steel industry, which, by the way, is how our ships get built, our military equipment gets built, our bridges get built, our entire infrastructure, our vehicles get built, or at least the vehicles built in the U.S., or a lot of the times the vehicles are built with U.S. parts outside of the U.S. But even then, this is massive. And this is sending it to not one U.S. steel company selling themselves to another steel company in the U.S. No, they're selling themselves to a Japanese steel country, which, by the way, back in 2018, 2019, was busted for selling, for lying about the quality of steel they were selling us. Obviously, steel is bought in different grades of different strengths, and in terms of strength as in, like, what it can hold. And Japan was saying that they were selling us one grade of steel, when in fact they were actually selling us a weaker grade of steel. It was not meeting the steel quality that it was being advertised as, which ended up, I don't know what really happened. It's been like 6 years since that happened. It's crazy that it's been 6 years already, but it has been. And so this is very, very concerning. And Biden is right. And when Biden said that U.S. Steel must remain a domestically owned American firm, which is true. It needs to be. This is not good for the U.S. in any sense of the word, the idea. And it is going to lead to, it's going to lead to a lot of issues, especially if we get into conflict with China. Because if we get in conflict with China, obviously Taiwan is going to be probably the reason. And they're going to quickly jump, I think, to Japan. And if Nippon Steel is a Japanese company manufacturing in Japan, or even owning Japan, if Japan gets attacked, you could see a massive slowdown in issues with the production of American steel, or steel is getting to the U.S. Whether again Nippon is going to keep factories and steel mills open in the United States or not, because if these foundries close, these steel mills close in the U.S. and it's all done in Japan and then shipped overseas. Again, if we can do a war, we're going to be in a massive weakness, and it's not going to be good at all. Well, we got to get to one more article before we get to the main segment of the show. I just realized how long we are into this episode. From Zero Hedge, over 1,300 layoffs hit logistics companies across the U.S. So Universal Logistics, Swissport Cargo Services, Kroger, the Kroger Company, RXO Logistics, Nosco Incorporated, and Ryder Integrated Logistics are laying off a bunch of employees. This is not just truckers necessarily, but yes, some truckers, as well as warehouse employees, forklift operators, dock workers, clerical employees, etc. They're laying off just over 1,300 employees. And now, while this is, by contrast, a very, very small percentage of the total United States logistic company's workforce, so the collected companies, collective companies' workforce, this is still that's still noticeable, and it could lead to further closures in the future, especially as things are getting more expensive for companies. This, I think, very likely will end up being, I think this will end up having more in the future, maybe not next month, maybe next year, seeing more and more people laid off and more companies suffering, just as people are purchasing less goods are treated because things cost more, therefore less goods get transported, which means, I've talked about this before, and it is a snowball effect where things are going to get really, really bad really, really fast in terms of our economy. But let's jump into the main segment of the show, and I think this is an important one, because obviously this is, the anti-Semitism is not new. It's not new at all. This has been a thing, I mean, forever. Israel, I mean, people, nations surrounding Israel have always hated Israel. Israel's been conquered numerous times. They've been enslaved numerous times. They've been oppressed since their beginning, quite literally since their beginning. And so anti-Semitism and the hatred of Jews is literally nothing new. But for a while in America and on the right, it had died out. Not fully died out. You're always going to have that occasional wacko who thinks the Jews are behind everything and that Hitler was right. And everyone just put them aside as they're crazy. They're out of their mind. They're absolutely absurd. And they're still absolutely absurd. But now, anti-Semitism is becoming much more common among those on the right. Much, much more common. Obviously, noticeably, I guess, Kanye, but Kanye isn't necessarily on the right. Another big one, Andrew Torba, the CEO of Gab, is incredibly anti-Semitic, and if you think he isn't, let me tell you, buddy, I got screenshots of his posts on Gab. And so I know the vile stuff he said, and he's didn't used to be like this, or at least wasn't so open about it years ago, back in 2020 when I first got on Gab, or 2021 when I first got on Gab. It wasn't crazy. He wasn't crazy. But now it is very open and blatant. And I guess the biggest notable one right now is Candace Owens. Well, no, obviously she may deny that she's anti-Semitic. It's very clear that she's anti-Semitic. But we're seeing more people siding with Iran in this conflict, accusing the Jews of genocide, which has been debunked a million times. And everyone can objectively see that this isn't that Israel's not committing a genocide against Gaza. And as myself and others have argued, Israel's not doing enough, quick enough to deal with this conflict in Gaza. And the Biden administration needs to stop hindering and needs to stop warning Israel against fighting back as hard as Israel should actually be fighting back against Gaza. This is it's crazy, but this anti-Semitism on the right, and it's creeping into the church more and more and more, and you're seeing who are supposed to be faithful pastors, faithful Reformed pastors, are becoming wildly anti-Semitic, and it's absolutely absurd. And then when someone like Phil Johnson, who's the director of Grace to You, which is one of the ministries of Grace Community Church, where Pastor John MacArthur preaches, he pointed this out on X the other day. And out of the woodworks, and he noticed it, out of the woodworks, all these supposed Christians and pastors and other people started coming forth because he called out these people and said this was wrong. And they came out, and in their attempt to say that he's crazy, that this isn't actually a thing, actually ended up proving that his point and proving Phil Johnson's point, and showing that, in fact, there is a whole ton of anti-Semitism going on in the Reformed Church and the supposed right. And this, it's an issue. It's absolutely going to, in the long term, damage the witness of the church. And at the same time, though, I see this as part of judgment from God on this church. The church has faced hardships in the past, and the church has gone through high periods of faithfulness and low periods of faithfulness, and we see judgment from God upon low points of faithlessness. And so I think that's very much what this is, at least partially. And it's judgment from God. But I would call to all of those pastors out there who are being anti-Semitic, and you know who you are. You need to repent. You absolutely need to repent. There is no biblical case for your justification for your anti-Semitism. There's no way you can try to use scripture to justify your position. It's not happening. In Romans 11:19, Paul writes, let's start with 17, and says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and became partaker of them, of which the rich root, with them, of the rich root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the roots, but the root supports you. You will say to them, 'Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in.' Quite right. They are broken off for their unbelief, but you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear, for if God does not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either." And for those who are not aware of this passage, the Apostle Paul is comparing, is talking about Jews and Gentiles and the church and the roots. Obviously, the roots are Christ. The roots are Christ, the roots are God and Scripture. The branches, though, are the Jews. And then the branches who are grafted in, which those who know farming know what grafting is, you take an unnatural branch and you graft and you allow it to grow it and it can actually become part of the tree. The grafted in branches are the Gentiles. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is telling the Gentile believers, do not be arrogant towards the Jews. Even the Jews who are non-Messianic Jews and who do not recognize and do not see Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And he said, because again, it is God's mercy upon you that you are being grafted off, that you're being grafted in. And because of that mercy, do not be arrogant towards the Jews, thinking that you have it better. Because again, if it weren't for God, you would be in the same place of depravity. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. And so many pastors need that preached to them. Whether you believe Israel has some prophetic eschatological importance or not, that verse still stands. And that verse does not change whether you have a dispensational premillennial view of Israel or you do not see any prophetic importance for Israel. You do not, as a Christian, have the right to be arrogant towards the Jews, to speak down upon them. You would preach the gospel to them humbly, as you would to anyone else, because they still need Christ. You don't get to be arrogant towards them. You don't get to hate them. You don't get to make up lies about them to justify your hate for them, because that's really what this is. This anti-Semitism, the justification that Hitler used, the justification that Andrew Torba uses, the justification that these people on the quote-unquote dissident right, who are incredibly anti-Semitic, what they say, it's not justification, it's just evil. Anyway, guys, hoping it was the episode. If you did, please follow my podcast and share it with your friends and family. They'd be greatly appreciated. Follow me on Gab, CloudUp, Getter, and Frank Social at PatRide Official, and Truth Social at PatRide_Official. I will see you guys next week. God bless y'all.